welcome to join Joan Lewis for her Vatican Week in Review. Joan, welcome back. You've been to the States, and now you're back here in Vatican.
Well, you know, on my travels, my dad used to call me his Roman Catholic, and we spell that R-O-A-M-I-N, Roman Catholic, who travels a great deal. I am back and catching up, as is always the case after any trip, catching up with news. You know, you kind of look at it in passing when you're traveling. There's quite a number of interesting events this week in the Vatican. I think perhaps the highlight will be the announcement that this coming Tuesday, November 20th, Pope Benedict's third volume in his trilogy on Jesus of Nazareth will be presented at the Vatican. It's called The Infancy of Jesus. And actually, the book was expected before Christmas, and it was signed last summer. It was done and signed at Castel Gandolfo on August 15th. And was presented in October at the Frankfurt Book Fair. And as a matter of fact, the very day that it was presented, the publishing house, also obviously the Vatican Publishing House, also released several excerpts from it and the Pope's foreword. But publishers from 32 countries have contacted, they've been negotiating with the Vatican Publishing House for rights to translate the book from, as you said, the original German into 20 different languages. And I thought it was fascinating. I'm certainly not going to read the entire foreword, but the Pope wrote a foreword for this book, as he has done previously, all these stories, the gospel stories about the childhood of Jesus. And he said, this is not a volume, but an antechamber to the previous two books. And you think of an antechamber as something that comes before, and yet this is the third.
And he wrote this afterwards.
Yeah, third and final one. So I look forward to reading that. And just the excerpts, the two excerpts that they gave the day it debuted at the book fair, page 36, and I think it was page 38, The Birth of Jesus. Very, very intriguing. So I think we're going to enjoy that, and it'll be out gradually in all the languages.
So, Joan, we usually start the week on Sunday with the Pope's appearing at the study window to pray the Angelus.
Yes, he does that every single Sunday. What he always does is, before praying the Angelus, I'm sure that our listeners have observed this fact, before praying the Angelus, he actually comments on the day's readings, a reading and the gospel of the day, and then the Angelus prayer. And if you've never been in St. Peter's Square for this, there are mammoth screens, mega screens in the square that have the words of the prayer on them. So if you forgot them from childhood or never knew them, you can follow the prayer from those screens. And then afterwards, of course, the Pope reflects on something that might have happened during the week or an event that's taking place. And this past week, he reflected on the two widows in the gospel as the example of faith, and one in the Book of Kings and the other in the Gospel of Mark. And it's very interesting. Pope said that the scriptures say the objective condition of need, in this case, the mere fact of being a widow, is not enough. God always asks us to adhere willingly to faith, which is expressed as love for him and for one's neighbor. He actually went on at quite some length about these particular gospel stories and what they tell us about faith. And then after the Angelus, the Pope mentioned that the Thanksgiving Day, which is being celebrated in Italy, and he said in the context of the Year of Faith, which has really been a focus, a theme of every speech he is giving and has given recently. But he said the theme of Sunday's Thanksgiving Day in Italy was trust in the Lord and do good so you will live in the land. And he said that reminds us of the need for a lifestyle rooted in faith. And then the Pope also recalled that Sunday the had special words for Polish pilgrims because Poland was celebrating their Independence Day. And he said this commemorates, again, the word faith. He said this commemorates the faith of your forefathers, your history, and the strength of spirit of recent generations. So very meaningful words Sunday at the Angelus.
Monday he actually left the Vatican.
Yes.
For a special visit, unusual.
I have to say, this is really one one of my of the Holy Father's words said this week, Angelus, general audience, and so forth. This is really one of my favorite talks. He visited the Sant'Egidio community's Viva gli Anziani, which means and long live the elderly. And it's a rest home for elderly in Rome. I've never liked the word elderly, to be honest. I've always loved the American version of people over. I'm not sure actually what age it starts, but the term senior citizen, I just love that compared to elderly. I guess it depends on how you feel. Anyway, he did tell the residents, and he said he's here visiting them as Bishop of Rome, but also as an elderly person visiting his peers. And he said he knows the difficulties and limitations of age, and for many people, of course, life is tough because it's aggravated by the economic crisis. But he said, I would like to tell you with profound conviction, it's good to be elderly. And then he spoke about the biblical sense of longevity, and he said it's considered a blessing from God. But today, unfortunately, he said, society dominated by the logic of efficiency and profit does not welcome longevity as such. On the contrary, it often rejects it, considering the elderly as unproductive and useless. However, he said, of course, they are a source of wisdom and a great resource. And, you know, speaking of the elderly, I can't tell you how many times I've thought, I wish I had spent more time sitting on a sofa or at the knees of my grandparents. Just looking back now at some of the stories that I've learned, talk about resources, talk about history, talk about faith, I truly wish I had spent more time. I dearly loved them. That was not the question at all, and I loved being with them, but I do wish I had spent more time listening to their stories. So that must have been a wonderful day, certainly, for the elderly at that rest home
in
Rome.
And for the Pope himself.
And for the Holy Father, sure. With, when you're with your peers. And, you know, then you get to a certain age. I mean, my mom died at 94. Her sister died recently at 99 and a half. And you get to a certain age, you don't have peers. There just aren't too many other people around you who are 94, 90, 95, or 100. So
Joan,
just have peers is a great thing.
So, Joan, this takes us to Wednesday. Wednesday is the day of the general audience, and his catechesis, as you mentioned,
right,
once again, was focused on the year of faith.
Absolutely. You're going to hear that until November of 2013 when the year ends, and certainly well beyond. The Pope said, we've seen in the catechesis so far in the Year of Faith, we've seen that a mysterious desire for God lies deep in the human heart. And he said, but today in our secularized world, faith often seems difficult to justify. We're faced with a practical atheism, he said, a tendency to live and think as if God did not exist. Yet, once God is removed from our lives, we become diminished. For our greatest human dignity consists in being created by God and called to live in communion with him. And then he said, there's three places we could find reasons for our faith. And he said, the order and beauty of creation itself, which speaks of God, of the Creator. We find it in the longing for the infinite present in the human heart. And in faith itself, which illumines and transforms our lives through our daily union with the Lord. So more very beautiful, almost poetic words from the Holy Father about faith.
On Thursday, Joan, ecumenism on the agenda as the Pope spoke to the members and consultants of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity on the occasion of their plenary assembly dedicated to the importance of ecumenism and new evangelization.
Yes, this was a fascinating, and again, the focus, need I say, is what we've been talking about since we started the show. The Pope talked about ecumenism. Of course, this is the search for the unity among the divided Christian churches. The Pope highlighted the close ties between the work of evangelization, re-evangelizing people who might have strayed from the faith, and the need to overcome the divisions that still exist between the Christians. This was the central theme of the Pope's address. And he said, we cannot follow a truly ecumenical path while ignoring the crisis of faith affecting vast areas of the world, including those where the proclamation of the gospel was first accepted and where Christian life has flourished for centuries. But he also said, on the other hand, we can't ignore the many signs indicating a persistent need for spirituality made manifest in various ways. And as he has done and his predecessor before him, the Pope always highlights the fact that what unites Christians is far greater than what divides Christians. But we must never, ever stray from the path of looking for unity.
Thursday again, another moment of caring, maybe. Suffering and health care.
Well, and actually, this was the beginning of the three-day conference in the Vatican held by the Pontifical Council for the Health Pastoral Care. And this is held every November. Oh, this is the 27th international conference held by this Pontifical Council. It's always in the Vatican's new Synod Hall, and it gathers together people from all over the world who are in the ministry of the health care of people. Sometimes it's those who actually care, doctors and nurses and that kind of staff, others involved in research. The theme varies from year to year, and this year it's the hospital, a setting for evangelization, a human and spiritual mission. And what the members are trying to highlight this year really is the Catholic nature, certainly of Catholic hospitals. Have any of the Catholic healthcare facilities strayed from their original meaning, really? Which, and again, we look at the mission, we look at faith.
Joan, there was something that happened on the Feast of Leo the Great, which didn't happen this week, but it happened the previous week on the Saturday 10th.
Yes, this was absolutely fascinating. There was a motu proprio, a document signed by the Pope's own hand, called Latina Lingua. And with that motu, Benedict XVI established a new pontifical academy, the Pontifical Academy for Latin. And this will actually be part of the Pontifical Council for Culture. This will be, it'll have a president and a secretary. They will be appointed by the Pope. And it will have an academic council. And actually, this is going to supplant, as far as I understand it, the Foundation Latinitas, established by Paul VI on June 30th, 1976.
Which had become a bit highbrow, I think.
Yes, and I'm not sure a lot of people understood its very meaning. Now, actually, Latinitas has put out quite a number of interesting volumes of new Latin words. At the time of Julius Caesar, we didn't have dishwashers. So you as you progress and there are new areas of science or whatever in life, you have to have words for them in Latin. But anyway, the Pope, with this motu proprio, approved the statutes of this new academy ad experimentum for a five-year period. So it's probably, as one media commented after the Pope had founded this, it's probably going to be an uphill battle. But, you know, I go back to high school when I had Latin. It's like, why do I have to study Latin? Because I'm not going to speak it. I was more interested in languages I would speak. But the Latin was a basis for practically everything else that I did. It certainly was the basis for studying French, Spanish, Italian. It was the basis in biology, in medicine. You can probably look at some medicine bottles today and see words you can understand only because you had Latin. So I wish the Holy Father enormous good luck with the Latin Academy.
Not understood by everyone. Well, thanks very much, Joan. And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.